Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. As I begin, I want to give you an assignment. It's this. I want you to reflect on the person or persons who've had deep influence on your life. That's your inner work assignment for the next little while. Jonathan Myrick Daniels was a person who has had deep influence on my life. It was 51 years ago yesterday that Jonathan was martyred doing civil rights work in Hayneville, Alabama. Jonathan, in the book Holy Men and Holy Women, which is a book that contains feast days for the lives of people in the history of the church who've had great impact or significant witness, John has a day in that book, August 14th. But he was actually martyred on the 20th. So they tried to come up with a day that was close to the time of his death. Jonathan and I were seminary classmates. We entered the Episcopal Theological School in the fall of 1963. That's a seminary in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Jonathan had been the valedictorian in the class of 1961 at VMI. Jonathan was smart, but Jonathan was also arrogant. He was a hard guy to get along with, in part because he's so smart. And so we journeyed on in conversation and debate. We really didn't see the world in all that similar terms. Our backgrounds were different. But we journeyed through our first year, and it was midway through our second year, in February 1965, that the images of Dr. King's work in civil rights, and particularly organizing the Selma to Montgomery voter registration march, that caught our attention. You may remember it was at the Pettus Bridge when Dr. King was trying to begin the march from Selma, that the Alabama State Police were determined to stop it. And so they charged the marchers, and they were beaten and pushed back. And those images were on television, and everybody in America saw them. Well, the images deeply affected our seminary community at the Episcopal Theological School, and our student body got together and tried to figure out, because who would go to Selma? Who could go to help? Because Dr. King said, "I need help." We were young people seeking to understand what God's kingdom might be like. We decided to send people. Jonathan volunteered, went down early. I and a couple of others went down as well. Jonathan participated at the beginning of the march, but he came back early. He didn't finish it. I came down at the end of it. One of the things that was really powerful about being on the march was in camp at night, you had all the best folk singers in the world there. A free concert every night. But these, this isn't what this. These, you were living these values. But the spirit in the place was so confident, so optimistic. The kingdom of God was about to come. And there was such a sense of optimism about things. And I remember marching into Montgomery. There were 50,000 people there at the steps of the Alabama State House that day. George Wallace was governor. The Confederate flag was flying at full staff. The American flag was at half staff. Dr. King spoke eloquently that day, lifting up the vision of God's kingdom, a kingdom where everybody has a place at the table, where justice and peace abound. It was an inspiring day. Well, the day ended, and I, like so many others, went back to our lives. And Jonathan, who'd come back to seminary to take his exams early, he went back to Alabama. He went back to do the heavy lifting, to actually register the voters. And of course, he did some other things too. He picketed whites-only stores. He also helped kids. Kids learned to read and write. And one of the things about him was, I think, given my experience of his arrogance early on, the whole thing, the experience humanized him in a way. He became a different person in that process. Well, he and many of his associates were arrested one afternoon and put in jail. And then after they'd been there for a few days, surprisingly, they were released. And of course, they had nobody to pick them up. It seemed very arbitrary. He and a couple of his companions walked across the street from the Hayneville jail to go into a general store to get a cold drink, because on that hot August 20th afternoon, it was a thirsty time. So they went in there. In the back of the store, there was a man who turned out to be a deputy sheriff who basically said, "Look, we don't need your kind around here." And he took his gun and he pointed it at a 16-year-old African-American girl, Ruby Sales. And Jonathan pushed her away and took the full blast himself and was killed instantly. Needless to say, his death had a tremendous impact for us. This was August. We were coming back, our seminary class, for our last year in seminary. Life was really going to be different now. And Jonathan's witness and example has continued to haunt me and challenge me throughout these years. His spirit is still with me. Now, Jonathan was the 1961 valedictorian for the class of 1961 at VMI. VMI didn't know what to do with Jonathan, because Jonathan really wasn't interested in the military. He was a peace and justice man. And pretty much VMI ignored Jonathan for a lot of years. But gradually, because the values of the institution were closer to Jonathan's values than might appear on the surface, they began to reclaim him. And today, there are four honorific arches at the Virginia Military Institute. One is to George Washington. One is to Stonewall Jackson. One is to George Marshall. And one is to Jonathan Daniels, who gave his life for a 16-year-old African-American girl. Now, in terms of living his legacy at VMI, there is a Jonathan Daniels Award that is given from time to time. It's not given every year. The first recipient was Jimmy Carter. These are people that represent the values that Jonathan lived and died for. The most recent presentation was in March 2015, not last March, but the March before, and it was given to John Lewis, the congressman from the 5th District in Georgia. And he had been present on that first day when the Selma to Montgomery march began. And in the charge by the state police, he'd had his skull fractured. So he was clearly somebody standing for those values. And here he is, 83 years old, still working hard to make God's kingdom a reality. It was an inspiring day. And the gift to me was to be there and again to touch those values, to be renewed in those values, to think again about how my life is shaped by the life and witness of Jonathan Daniels. The central image that I have for the church is this. The church is a great relay race, a great relay race. And past generations have passed the baton to us in our time. So think about those people that have shaped you. You didn't get here for nothing. Somebody for whom Christian values were important touched your life and made it important for you to wrestle with those ideals, those values, to figure out places where you could celebrate them, where you could touch them, where you could wonder about the mystery of life. Think about those people that shaped you. Because I believe in the economy of God's Spirit, you're here for a reason. And then also, think about those individuals in your life that you might pass that baton on to. People who need these values. People who need this worship space, the life of faith that will enrich them. Because the bottom line for Christian faith actually isn't what we do here. This is very important. But it's the way we stand tall in the world, the values that we stand for. That's the witness we offer, the way we live our lives. So may God continue to bless each of us and show us those opportunities, those individuals for whom we can give the gift of faith.
Now let us stand.